So, Pat Jones, the one without the PowerPoint, is the executive director of the International Bridge, Tunnel, and Turnpike Association. That's the worldwide alliance of toll operators and associated industries. The association has more than 280 members in 24 countries around the world, and Pat has more than 25 years of experience in transportation and in association management issues. Pat.
Well, thank you, Alex Tabarrok, and for the kind introduction, and thank you, Gabriel, for inviting me to be here today. Congratulations on your book, and I wish you much success. This is my first time here to the Independent Institute, and so I was doing a little research. I decided to go to the website to see what these people are all about, and I was delighted and a little surprised to see that my colleagues on the panel all submitted their high school graduation photographs for to be included in the program. So it's nice to be around people who feel so youthful at this stage of their life. And while I was there, while I was on the web, I thought, well, you know, let's see how Gabriel's book is doing. And so I went to Amazon.com, and you know, if you go to Amazon and you can look up a book and you can see where is it in the rankings of the most highly read books, the biggest sales. And of course, you go to the top 25 and you see number one is, you know, another sort of economic book there, Gabe. It's Busting Loose from the Money Game, Mind-Blowing Strategies for Changing the Rules of a Game You Can't Win by Robert Scheinfeld. That's number one on Amazon.com. And then it goes from there. Number two is Saving Graces, Finding Solace and Strength from Friends and Strangers. This was written by the spouse, Elizabeth Edwards, the spouse of John Edwards, the vice presidential candidate for the Democrats last time around. Down the list a little bit, number seven, Culture Warrior by Bill O'Reilly. And then down a little further, Lemony Snicket has the latest installment called The End, A Series of Unfortunate Events, Book 13. Coincidentally, also at place number 13. So, well then... So then you go a little bit further down the list. You find in the Amazon.com rank, number 966,923 is Gabriel Roth, Street Smart, okay? Now, we're not disturbed by that because we know all those other books that are high in the rankings, nobody reads those, you know? All people do is they quote from them or they read the reviews from those books. But by golly, we know that 966,923 people are going to read this book, Gabriel, all right? So we congratulate you for that. Well, I asked Gabriel before I came if I could bring a little bit of literature to promote IBTTA, and I would just do a little bit of show and tell. We're having a transportation finance summit in December of this year, December 3 through 5, right here in Washington, D.C., some outstanding presenters looking at different ways to finance transportation. This is the fourth summit we've done. It'll be at the Capitol Hilton, and I would encourage you to come. There are copies of this at the table downstairs. I also brought some to this room. And I heard mention of the Independent Institute's quarterly publication. We have I don't know what you call it, three times a year, but it's not quarterly, it's something else. And this is our journal, Tollways, and I brought a few of these, and I brought a few other things that I won't go into. I guess what I'd like to do, I really support and agree with what Gabriel has said, and to a certain extent with Greg's remarks. I think what I would like to do is really sort of emphasize the issue of scale, emphasize sort of the magnitude of the problem that Gabriel is describing. Let's think about a number, a billion. Let's imagine if we gave to a person who lived at the beginning of the Common Era, somebody in 1 AD, let's imagine we gave that person $1 billion. You know, Caesar's there in Rome and Pontius Pilate is hanging out in Judea, and you get the idea, 1 AD. And we tell this person, DJ, we want you to spend this $1 billion at the rate of $1,000 a day. I mean, we're talking about 5 to 10 times the federal per diem, okay? Spend it at the rate of $1,000 a day. Well, if we did that with our $1 billion, and if that person lived long enough, today they'd still be spending that money, and they'd have 700 years left to go, all right? That's $1 billion. Now, if you listen to studies that have come out of the Hudson Institute and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials and the Federal Highway Administration, they tell us that we have a $1 trillion gap between the revenues that we have and the revenues we need just to maintain our highway system in its current dilapidated condition. All right? So we're talking about $1,000 billion over the next 20 years. And that's why the work that Gabriel and his colleagues is so important, because they demonstrate to us alternative ways to get the funding to do the work that we need to do just to stay where we are. Now, Gabriel said in his final slide that one of the big obstacles, or the biggest obstacle to reform, is ignorance. And I agree with that. I would say a big obstacle to reform is ignorance, but I would add to that fear. Last night, I happened to be at Washington National Cathedral listening to a lecture by former Senator John Danforth. And he was hawking his book, Faith and Politics, How the Moral Values Debate Divides America and How to Move Forward Together. Where am I going with this? Well, Gabriel's talking about ignorance, and I agree that there is ignorance about the transportation disinvestment we have in this country, but there's also fear. I'm not trying to proselytize anybody here with Senator Danforth and his book and the cathedral, all right? I'm just sharing with you an observation that he made. And his book essentially says that the religious right in this country has polarized America. He said, 30 years ago when I first got into politics, or 40 years ago, you had 30% of Americans were Republicans and 30% identified themselves as Democrats, and then everybody else in between was sort of undecided. And that was the battleground for your elections. You went for the people in the middle. But we've gotten to a place now where we're very polarized. And as a consequence of this, I think a lot of very important issues get left on the table and unresolved. And one of these issues, because of the fear that we're going to be cast as, on the outskirts of this political debate, one of these issues is transportation. So I would suggest that, yes, we need more education, and yes, we need a public and political discourse in this country that isn't rooted in fear. One of the results of this heightened sense of fear is people come up with questions like, hey, what's going on with this Australian company that's coming to this country and they're buying our highways, you know? What happens if they go belly up and, what happens to us? How do we get to work, you know? What happens when the private sector is controlling the very public service-oriented roads that we're driving on? And I would suggest to you that this really is a false fear, that the companies and the industries and the people who are investing in our highways intend to be here for a very long time. And we see examples of this happening all over the world. In Europe, especially in Southern Europe, France and Spain and Italy and Portugal and Greece, all of those countries use the concession model as sort of the way to build and maintain and operate what we would consider the interstate highways. So I think we have an opportunity here with Gabriel and some other smart panelists and all of you here in this room that Congress created this commission this National Surface Transportation Policy and Revenue Study Commission, a group of a dozen smart people from many different sectors of the economy and government to look at what is the future of highway transportation in America, of surface transportation in America, looking out 30 years and beyond. What is our vision for how we're going to fund our transportation system, and what policies will we use to implement this system? IBTTA, in concert with the American Public Transportation Association, Art Gazzetti is here with us today from APTA, and the Intelligent Transportation Society of America, ITS America, and the Texas Department of Transportation. We co-hosted last week in Dallas, Texas, the first field hearing of this Section 1909 Commission to bring to them some alternative views, to help dispel the ignorance, to help dispel the fear, so to speak, about new ways of funding transportation in this country. They're going to have a series of other field hearings around the country in the coming months, in November, in February, in April. I think they'll be in New York and Memphis and Chicago and Los Angeles and maybe Orlando and other parts of the country. And I would encourage you to take a look at that and be present for those hearings and to express your views to help eradicate the ignorance that lives in our transportation system and the fear, and get this political discourse back on track where we're trying to solve problems and we're not trying to alienate one another. So I would just conclude there. I thank you for the opportunity, Gabriel, to be here. I look forward to the question and answer session, and have a great conference. Thank you.